So what's up, people? We're expecting Andrew Friedman any minute here. You know, my mom, Donna Mashonsky, went back to Altoona, Pennsylvania, which is her hometown, and she happened to mention to me, I'm the keeper of all the photographs in the family, so I've got every yep. family photograph you can imagine. And last week, the subject of my mom came up because she was, and people I think thought it was a lie, she was Miss Altoona. And I actually found the photo of
wow.
her after winning Miss Altoona, Pennsylvania. I just tweeted it out. It is so cool. My mom, Miss Altoona, Pennsylvania. She's back there now. Do beauty pageants still happen? Is that still a thing, or is that a thing of the past?
I think that still happens. I see they make shows about it and stuff.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, it feels weird, you know, now having a swimsuit competition. I mean, in the current state of the world, doesn't it?
It does. Everything feels rather superficial.
Yep. Yes,
right.
It does.
There
yes,
are bigger problems in the world right now than to get worked up for a beauty pageant. Dog shows feel about the same level to me, you know? I mean, do we really need
dogs.
To have...
dogs. It's okay.
Yeah, they're dogs, you know.
I wouldn't want my dog in a dog show.
I know, it's too much
I don't
pressure.
Think those dogs are having a great time. My personal opinion. You may have show dogs and all that stuff. My dogs just lay around and get treats and cuddle, and they do all the normal stuff. They're not.
Do you praise them? Do you praise your dogs? Do they get like claps
God.
And stuff?
All the time.
Yeah, see, they're
all
happy.
The time.
That's what I think they get from dog shows. They get a lot of praise.
I would say boy. I come back, I'd like to come back as one of my dogs.
Yeah,
because they get
life.
Treated really, really well. I also, by the way, stated that the Dodgers are three games back from the Giants. They're actually four games back.
Four, yeah. Every time they would sweep a series, they don't gain any ground.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants have won 8 of 10. The Dodgers have won 8 of 10. So,
jeez.
Two best records in the league, and you're trying to chase down the San Francisco Giants, who, you know, I'm not entirely sure how they're doing it.
I don't either.
I'm really not.
I kept waiting for them to fall off. I was like, they're not that good. Those guys are old and they're, come on, no way Buster Posey's going to keep this up. No
all
way
right,
Brandon
so,
Belt. Come on, what's going on here?
Well, we'll bounce all this off Andrew Friedman, president of baseball operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Andrew, thanks a lot for coming on. Ramona Shelburne is here as well. Thanks for doing this.
Nice. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Ramona, for having me on.
So let's start with this. I'm fascinated by the day of the trade deadline. And sort of the tick-tock of how everything went on. Can you take us inside that a little bit?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a blur for me, too. I'm just kind of getting my bearings after that 10-day period. But it was really the day before. When we went to bed that night before the deadline, it was basically done and just needed to work through the Max Scherzer 10-5, you know, no trade rights. And so when we went to bed that Thursday night, we felt as confident as you can feel that it was going to happen. But Thursday was obviously, a frenzy, and, you know, we started by focusing on Scherzer and the conversations were going along those lines, kept kind of checking in on Trey Turner, and they finally got to a point where they were open to it. And so, then it got a little more complicated, and obviously everybody knows about the report that came out on Thursday about the Padres. And
there were reports that said the Padres were inches away of getting the deal done.
Yeah, so when I first read it, my instant reaction was not a good one. And we probably need to be on a different station to capture the exact terminology, but then it didn't really make sense with where we were in the conversations with the Nationals. We knew that Keibert Ruiz was the guy that they most wanted of anyone that they could access, and so, you know, we had it set up in a way where we felt pretty confident we'd be able to get it done at that point. But for about half a second, I think my heart skipped a beat.
When you read a report like that, and do you immediately go into what I would do as a media member, which is to say, is somebody just bidding up, you know, trying to get us to increase our bid? Is that a smokescreen to make you panic and throw? Was there something that you were holding on to that they were trying to get you to put in the deal and you were holding on to? Like, that's usually what I would see it as a negotiating tool.
Yeah, and that's what I think as well. Half a second after thinking, I wonder if this is real, immediately kind of came back to how it almost definitely was not. And then it was pretty transparent that the Nationals probably put that out to try to, you know, leverage the situation a little bit. Yeah, definitely happens quite often. So yeah, that would be my guess as well.
Well, so, you know, I mean, as a Dodger fan, I went into a full-on panic when I saw that report that that the Padres might be in on it. So I'm glad it worked out the way it did. And, you know, tell me the relation. Obviously, you add Max Scherzer, who is among the best, three-time Cy Young Award winner, among the best pitchers of his generation. You also get Trey Turner, and now it appears that Trey Turner acquisition, Max is unbelievable, but that Trey Turner acquisition, given injuries, gives you the depth to be able to deal with Mookie Betts being out, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we basically have had, I don't know, I'm going to make this up, but five games where we've had our kind of expected lineup together. Yeah. You know, we've dealt with a ton of stuff with Mookie, with Belly, with Seager, JT a little bit. I mean, we've just dealt with it on a lot of different fronts. And it's always, you know, we talk about this every year. Depth is so critically important. And, you know, things happen, and you can get to the end of the year and be like, oh, man, we had bad luck. Things happen. Stinks. We'll go get them next year. Or you try to do everything you can to insulate yourselves as best you can and try to get out in front of it. And so, you know, it was a high bar for us of guys to add with the team that we have. But fortunately, we were able to line up on something where, in our minds, we added two impact guys. And just the ability with so many games down the stretch in August and September to be able to rest guys when we're healthy or to be able to, you know, have another guy fill in when we're dealing with injuries, with where we are in the division race, you know, all of those things, you know, made it something that we felt like was really impactful and could really help our chances of accomplishing our goal of winning a championship this year.
Hey, Andrew, what are you still talking to Farhan Zaidi? I mean, what's going on up there? Like, I want a peek into the text message group or the group text, whatever's going on between you two, because I know you're longtime friends.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely died down here in the last month, 6 weeks. You know, get a little more active in the off season, a little active in spring training. Season gets going. All good, and lately it's been crickets.
Yeah. On your part or his part?
Both.
Yeah. No, you're rivals now. So let me ask you about Trevor Bauer, who's in a hearing today regarding the temporary restraining order that was granted against him by a woman who has made allegations against Trevor Bauer. When you look at this situation, and obviously the legal process, Major League Baseball's investigation, are you counting on Trevor Bauer this year, or do you think this year is kind of a wash?
I mean, we really know basically as much as you guys know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're going to kind of just sit back and wait for this to conclude. And once it does, obviously, we will, you know, have a lot to say on the matter. Obviously, with Scherzer and what we're doing and trying to insulate depth, it'd be foolish to count on him right now. But we're not speculating beyond
right. Would you have gone ahead with the Scherzer? Would Scherzer have been a priority if the Bauer thing hadn't happened?
It's so hard to answer. I mean, health wise of other guys. You know, just with the injuries we've had, and obviously the Bauer situation, adding a guy that we feel like can take the ball in a playoff start and put us in a good position to win a game was really important. I mean, I've said this a couple times publicly, and I'll never say this again. Okay. But in spring training, meaning what I said in spring training. In spring training, we were sitting there and we had, you know, basically nine starters, 10 if you get down to Mitch White. I think 9 was Josiah Gray. Just never even had close to that much starting pitching depth in my career. That we felt like could really help us win a game that year. And I jokingly said, hey, in July, who knows? Maybe we can be on the other side of this and be able to trade some starting pitching away.
Yeah,
that did not work out.
Hard to predict what's going to happen.
Hey, Andrew,
that's for sure.
Let me just walk me through where things stand. Right now, this is basically being handled by the commissioner's office, right? The Players Association. They're the ones who extend the deadline for his administrative leave. But at some point, do you guys have a say in what happens to Trevor Bauer, or is this being handled by the commissioner's office and the union?
Once that's done, obviously then we can comment on it and talk through it.
Yeah.
They have a joint agreement of how to handle these things that the union fought hard to have, and for them to work together on it and to have their penalty, whatever the assessment is on any case, be the punishment for something. Now, obviously, there are a lot of other potential options. It's just too – I don't know what – I just don't know enough right now.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
think any of us do definitively. And as soon as we do and we learn more and we have – and it's not conjecture and it's more facts that we're speaking to, it's going to be easy to talk through. Right now, it's just – the unknowns are plentiful, at least –
Andrew Friedman, president of baseball operations for the Dodgers, is with us. I want to pivot a little bit to Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw, who are both on the injured list right now. We understand Mookie got an injection in his hip. Dave Roberts seemed to indicate that you guys are going to try to keep him active for the stretch run. Clayton Kershaw, we've heard, maybe came back a little bit too fast at one point and now targeting September. What can you say about those two guys and their injuries and what they're dealing with?
You got pretty good updates there. that was pretty good. The Kersh thing is basically exactly what you said, and the most important thing for us is to have him as strong as he can be through October. And so it's figuring out, how to make sure he gets, enough work down the stretch here to be in the best position in October. We're going to kind of read and react. We don't know exactly when that'll be as he really starts his throwing progression. We'll just kind of, there's kind of decision trees that'll come off of each day and each week. And with the idea being to have him as strong as can be in October with enough kind of reps in September. And so we'll just continue to evaluate and read and react. And on Mook, it's funny because I think a lot of people would say he's, struggled to this point, but maybe it is relative to him, but obviously he's been awesome and he's been playing through a ton of stuff. And so, because of how much he wants to be out there, because of how much we want him out there, there were times where we probably should have taken our foot off the pedal a little bit and didn't, now in retrospect. And so we're hoping that some downtime and the injection will put him in a good spot. We'll have to continue to kind of see the progression day over day. I am optimistic that he'll be back and be a big part of what we do this year, but each day will tell us so much more that we'll continue to go down that path.
Hey, when you get Trey Turner, it almost felt on our end as fans and people covering the team and everything, nobody had heard that part of it. It came in like a surprise at the end. But you guys, obviously, it wasn't just something you kept asking about. It was something that you thought about not only for this year, but for the future. What does he do to your future long-term planning at either the shortstop or second base position?
I mean, it's just an elite talent. And also just adds another element to our offense. The foot speed, the ability to steal a base, the ability in the box to juice a ball. I mean, he really does it all. And so the way it fits into our existing offensive unit we felt like, you know, it's adding another impact guy, but also it's diversifying the skill set a little bit, and adding that kind of elite speed to it. And so it's something that we haven't had since I've been here. And I guess there aren't that many in the big leagues in general. But to add a guy who can do so many different things on the field is something that not only increases our championship odds for this year, but obviously will help in that next year as well.
All right, last thing for you. I am a huge Kenley Jansen fan. He had I've tried to explain to fans, he had one really bad week where he blew a couple of saves, but other than that, has been really, really good. I mean, I saw him pitch Friday night. He was hitting 96 on the gun. He seems to have his velocity. What's your level of comfort with Kenley Jansen in that closer role right now?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with your take, and our fans are obviously unbiased, but in my opinion, are the best in the league. Their passion, 50,000 people here basically every night. And, you know, I think Kenley in a lot of ways is a victim of his past dominance.
Yeah.
And so I think it's almost comparing him to 16-17 where, you know, he was one of the best relievers ever. And it's kind of comparing it to that. I still think he's really good and a real piece of us winning a championship. And I agree with you. I think for the most part this year, he's been really good. I actually feel like he was arguably the biggest all-star snub.
Yep.
And should have been an all-star. And outside of that one week, he's pitched really well. And I think, you know, he's a large human. And sometimes his delivery can get a little out of whack. And so he's been working incredibly hard at just syncing it up more and just finding that consistency, because even when it's a little bit more erratic, he's still good. But
yeah,
when it's synced up, he's elite. And so it's just kind of, you know, continuing to do that. And it helps all of us to know how much he cares and how hard he works, because it just helps increase the confidence on the bet on him.
Yep.
And I'm very optimistic that he's going to be a big part of what we do down the stretch and into October.
Yeah, all people right. laughed at me when I said after that game. Remember, Mace, I was on with you the game after the, you know, that looked like the Astros were going to come back, that he
yep.
gave up a couple. And Kenley, he's a big, tall guy. So when he gets out of rhythm a little bit, just one part of his motion, if it just gets a little out of sync, he's not quite as sharp. But, Andrew, are you surprised he's hitting 94, 95 again sometimes this year?
Yeah, it's not that surprising being just watching him work. He really, really cares. And, you know, we've all covered or been around players that don't care as much. And those guys are harder to bet on. But with how much Kenley cares and how much work he puts into it, you know, so much of the velo drop for me in some outings or in the past is not as much like arm aging or, you know, an injury as much as just body getting out of sync some, and things that he just did naturally and didn't even have to think about became more difficult to repeat without thinking about it. And then when you think about it, it can create some little, you know, something to be off in the kinetic chain, which then affects velo and or command. And, you know, the last few seen very, very consistent throws. And I think it's setting in for him in a way. And I think, you know, it's human nature. When you get guys on base or it's a stressful situation, you reach back for more and you amp up that much more. And so much for him is remembering that less is more and to try to fight that temptation. Because when he stays in his delivery, I'll bet on him against almost anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
That's some good life lesson right there.
Yeah, for sure.
I agree. I could heed that a little bit more as well.
Yeah, me too.
hey, listen, Andrew, thanks a lot for coming on and hanging out. I'm a huge Dodger fan, and the idea of a one-game playoff scares me, so let's have a great stretch run, huh?
I like it. I'm in on that.
All right, awesome. Thanks for doing it, man.
Thank you guys for having me on.
All right, there's Andrew Friedman, president of baseball operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are four games now behind the Giants. And that does panic. It's funny. Ireland and I have this. I believe every Dodger game now is must win.
Because, I heard you. I heard
you
the other day.
Because you're trailing the Giants. You cannot afford to lose more ground to the Giants. Think about it. Had they lost two out of three this weekend, they'd be six games back. You know, it's.
Yeah, the Brewers just went on a run, and they're all of a sudden right behind the Dodgers in terms of the best record.
I'm not worried about
it. You can go on a run like that, though.
Yeah, they've won seven out of eight, and they haven't made up any ground. That's why I think every game is must win. Every game is must win. And by the way, this Pirates series, which starts tonight, this is one of the lowliest teams in the league. You have got to sweep the Pirates. You've got to sweep the Pirates. When you play the bad teams, you got to make hay. So I'm curious now. We went a little bit long. I apologize to whoever, boss Amanda and Lindsay.
Well,
and all
you
that
know,
stuff,
maybe just to Andrew. I mean, he's got things to do.
Yeah, no, he spent some time.
Busy.
I like that.
Yeah.
But what is your general take on the Dodgers and where we are right now? You heard his confidence in Kenley Jansen. Momo and I both live on Jansen Island, Kenley Island.
Yeah.
We're roommates.
Good at picking out islands, right? I was on Rondo Island for a while.
Yeah. Kenley Island, the injuries. Does this mean, by the way, we didn't say it in the interview, but my personal opinion is that when they traded for Trey Turner, that meant that Corey Seager's days are.
Yeah,
limited.
I was kind of hinting at that in my question. Maybe I should have just come more correct with that, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just got to go real blunt. Hey. That mean you're letting Corey Seager walk? I could have just said it like that.
Yeah, that is the question.
Yeah.
That is the question. 877-710-ESPN. Hey, we are 25 minutes away from Radio Tinder. Make sure you're here for that. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN. So, Momo, there I am. I'm driving up to SoFi Stadium on Saturday for the big exhibition game, the big preseason game, first live football game at SoFi Stadium. What do I see on the video board as I'm driving in?
What?
An ad for Travis and Sliwa.
What?
And I thought, what are
man?
Where's the Mason and Ireland love? Then I go inside the stadium, and they have a live promo with Travis and Sliwa with Chris Morales doing the announcing. I'm like, wait a minute, where's the Mason and Ireland love?
Who do I talk to
about this? I mean, I love Sliwa and I love Travis. They're fantastic guys. I love their show, The Mid-Morning Spectacular. It's great. Ask Slee and all that stuff. But really, shouldn't it be Mason and Ireland on the scoreboard at SoFi Stadium?
You're thinking you're the boss.
I get it. I mean, you're the biggest Rams fan there is.
I am. I'm the biggest Rams fan.
You are the biggest. You talk Rams any day of the week. It doesn't matter what month, what year. You're part of the Ramley. Like, I don't – plus, you know,
yeah,
I don't
Travis
know.
And Slee are not part of the Ramley. We should have somebody that's part of the Ramley.
Hey, Mace, whose
on
house?
The scoreboard. Ram's house!
There you go.
It's Ram's house, exactly.
Well, you know, Mace, I think it's also an example of – this is the part where you're supposed to say, you know, we have a well-established show. Our ratings are good.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to help. They're just starting out together. It's a new show they're establishing.
Yeah, sure.
You're supposed to be the bigger person here.
Yeah. Like, whatever happened to being a team player and pumping up the other guys on the station?
I just gave them a huge pump. I just said I listen to the show every day, 8:55 to 11 a.m. I love the Mid-Morning Spectacular.
And in the same breath, you complained that they were being advertised at SoFi Stadium instead
Correct.
Of you.
That is correct. That's
I
exactly
actually stand with Mason on this one.
Who do I talk to about this?
With Mace, sorry. You know, Mace really is the Rams guy. Like, he really is a Rams fan. And he does have – just because Mason has success doesn't mean we have to ignore him. We just need to make him feel important, Lindsay.
Lindsay, you were here for last Rams season, right?
Is that a serious question?
Yeah, no, I'm trying,
like,
to, I'm trying to remember.
I've only worked for like
6 months. I haven't seen you for almost two years now. So you've been through.
Don't you follow her on Lindsay Baseball?
I do, at Instagram page? Lindsay Baseball. I follow her on Instagram.
Do you see her? Just not in real life, IRL. You see her.
I saw her IRL a couple of months ago at Venice Beach.
Yeah, see, yep. you saw her.
But that's the only, is that the only time we've seen each other in a year and a half? I think it is.
I think so, yeah.
How are you guys with that? Like, all the, I've been seeing friends of mine that I haven't seen mostly since the pandemic started. And some of them, it's like, but I mostly talk to them all the time. It's not like we haven't seen each other. And I saw one of my friends, she's like, oh my God, it's so good to see you. I'm like, we talked like yesterday. I mean, is it a big deal that we see each other rather than talk?
Yeah, I think it is.
You do?
I need human interaction. That's why I keep arguing with the bosses and stuff, saying, let me go into the studio.
I'm here.
Jorge needs help.
I'm in your seat right now, Mace. I'm in your seat.
Yeah, if Momo can be in my seat, why can't I be in my seat? That's what I don't understand. I like human interaction. I want to talk to the lady at Starbucks or the barista at Starbucks.
I talked to the lady at Starbucks. That's why I was almost late.
I like people. I love people. I love being around people. Jorge, and plus you can use the help.
Yeah, I can. So if you get here ASAP.
I'll be here Wednesday. I'll be here Thursday, probably Friday. If you want to come in, I'll bring a little rapid test if that'll make you feel better. You want to bring a rapid test and both do it?
If I'm king for the day, I'm doing the show from the studios with Momo. And on top of that, the billboards, the digital boards at SoFi Stadium have big ads for Mason and Ireland. Those are the two things that king for a day.
What's most important to you? If you had to choose between those two things.
Billboards.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely billboards. All right, coming up next for you, Momo, a Guinness Book of World Records achievement that I question how it could ever be done. Mm. And a couple has reconnected after somebody cheated. Do you know about this?
No.
We'll get into that coming up, too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Momo!
Hey.
Today is Madonna's 63rd birthday.
Wow.
Now, she has had unbelievable longevity in her career. What's the best Madonna song?
Like a Prayer, probably.
Like a Prayer is a great song.
Vogue
I told
is
this
up
story
there.
Before. I got sued over Like a Prayer because we played it before it was supposed to be released.
Story.
I was one of my proudest moments. But I think Vogue is her best record.
Yeah, that's really good too.
Lindsay, what about you? Are you a Madonna fan?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna go Like a Prayer too.
Yeah, Like a Prayer was great. Remember how controversial it was?
So
it was
controversial.
Such a big deal. They premiered it like on a Thursday night on NBC. Like during the Cosby Show or after the Cosby Show, something like that. They premiered the video and caused all kinds of horror. Madonna do anything for you?
Nah, nada.
Nah, nada.
Wait, but why was it controversial? The video or the song?
The video was controversial because remember it was in a church.
Oh yeah, and they had Jesus in there.
And yeah, there was a cross. I mean, all that kind of stuff. But you got to give it to her. She's evolved over these years. Now she's gotten kind of Looney Tunes lately.
I know, but that's kind of part of it, isn't it?
She's gotten a little carried away with the editing, the photo editing.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. What do they call that? Tuned. She is heavily tuned, face tuned. Yeah. All right. So I wanted to get to this because I find this to be an amazing achievement. Amazing achievement. There is a guy named Eric Badlands Booker. His nickname is Badlands.
Cool.
He is a professional competitive eater. Oh, and rapper named Eric Badlands.
Those are
Booker.
Not two things that usually go together. Okay.
Yeah, no, this guy's he's on the edge. So he has broken the world record for drinking a complete 2-liter bottle of soda.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, how long do you think it took this guy to drink a 2-liter bottle of soda?
8 seconds.
Well, it's not that quick.
I mean, it has to be like a
not that fast.
a minute maybe, 60, 50 seconds.
18.45 seconds he drank an entire 2-liter bottle of soda. Who the hell can do that?
Wow.
Think about it for a second. 2-liter bottle, gone in 19 seconds. Now, that would be coming right back up for me.
I just, all I'm thinking about is the burp afterwards.
Oh, has to be a massive belch.
Just, I mean, just. Almost painful.
Yeah, it's like the Ireland, do you remember the Ireland burp?
That's the greatest.
Jorge, do you know the Ireland burp?
Do you have that drop?
Let me look it up.
Okay, yeah, look up Ireland burp. It'll come right up.
Can you burp on command, Mace? Is that one of your talents?
Oh, I don't have one in the chamber.
It's not that hard. You just swallow some air.
There you go.
Attaboy.
Yeah. No, I've always got I need a little drink first.
Just swallow the air. It's easy.
Yeah. You have one?
There you go.
Momo!
Done. Swallow the air. Do it. You didn't think I would do it, did you?
No.
Did you see me do it, Jorge?
I did.
Swallow the air and then that's burp impressive. It back up.
That's impressive.
I thought that was a good sounding burp.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Maybe better than yours.
I think it was better than
mine. Hey, Jesse liked that.
Yeah, Jesse did like that.
But the Ireland one was so good because he didn't do it on purpose and then tried to deny it.
It snuck out. Is what it did with Ireland.
Was it like Wendy Williams-esque?
It was. Do we have Wendy Williams farting and burping at the same time?
Yes, that might.
Okay, this is a great one.
This one makes me laugh preemptively. It's so funny.
Both a burp and a fart at the same time for Wendy Williams on the Wendy Williams show, where you talk about somebody just UBU. She is her.
Well,
I actually admire. Oh, hang on a second.
Let's hear it again.
It's a matter of time. She's not lonely. I apologize.
I love how the audience is like, oh my God.
How awesome is that?
It's so funny. It's so funny every time.
Jorge sometimes will play it and go ahead and play it once, Jorge.
No, it's part's funny, but it's the lead in and the reaction afterwards where the audience
is
like,
she's not lonely. I apologize.
Oh, that is so genius.
Oh,
that is so genius.
Well, I could see kind of what happened is that you do one, you burp first on accident, and then you start laughing, and then
then you get the other.
Yeah, you lose control of the other.
Right, they're interlinked. Yes, they're interlinked. Wendy Williams, and you know what? I'll say this about Wendy Williams. So I don't watch her show. Do you watch Wendy Williams?
No, I don't watch anything regularly anymore.
I know her act a little bit, and I like the fact that she just sort of lets it all go.
Well,
right? She just throws herself out there
both ends,
and lets it all go. Like, anybody that's doing that deserves a lot of credit. Just being your full you, including that. Including that.
Oh,
this
so
is
good.
What I have for Ireland. I don't know if this is it.
Okay.
It was late in the game.
Ew, that is gross.
No, it was so funny because it slipped out, but you could tell he just moved right along.
Yeah, it was late in the game.
Oh, my God, it's a gross one.
Now, he denies that he farted, he burped. And I'm like, there is way you didn't.
Oh.
He says it's an audio trick.
Come
Hit it one more time.
It was late in the game.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's a burp for sure.
But, I mean, they do tell you when you're on air and something really embarrassing happens, you just have to keep going like nothing happened. Because most
just
of the time, people
it.
Can't hear.
Although, I tell you, I was doing a talk show pilot. For Tony Danza's company years and years ago. And it was like a sports politically incorrect. And I was hosting as a test, and I started sweating. And I started sweating more.
Oh,
and the show's going along. And at one point, there is a bead of sweat just hanging off the end of my nose. And you know what? I pretended like it wasn't happening.
Oh, no.
And it was the stupidest thing in the world.
Oh,
I should have patted myself down or gotten a rag or a towel or something to clean my face. Because that bead of sweat just hung from my nose for a long time. And the old Lions quarterback, I think it was Eric Kramer.
Yeah.
Was one of the panelists. And he said, after the show, he said, why didn't you wipe your face? I'm like, yeah, I know. It's the stupidest thing ever. So stupid.
There's this one commentator. She's on, I don't know if it's CNN or MSNBC. It's like this older woman. And she has the spit in the corners of her mouth.
Yep.
And I'm just like, somebody please talk to her about it. It's all I can see. She's a brilliant legal scholar. She always has good things to say, but all I can see is the spit in the corners of her mouth.
Yeah,
man.
No, it's true.
Somebody say something, like take a drink of water.
Yeah, let them know.
Gosh.
Let
them
know. All right, excuse me. All right.
How did we get onto that?
I have no idea. But yeah. That's what the show is all about. Yeah. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Coming up next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Here we go. It's time for Radio Tinder. Linz is at the helm right now. And Lindsay, if people want to follow you on Instagram.
At Lindsay Baseball.
Do that.
While I am at the helm.
You must follow at Lindsay Baseball on Instagram. If you're not, can't believe what you're missing. All right, yes. What do you got?
Well, Mace, the United States of America dominated the Olympics, and I don't think there's any debate about that.
Nope.
Team USA won both the overall medal count and the gold medal tally, but China is trying to spin a different narrative. Images from the Chinese social media platform Weibo, which is basically they're equivalent to Twitter. They show that China's central television is listing an inflated and inaccurate count that includes Hong Kong and Taiwan. China's state-owned media records, the country won the gold medal count, according to them, by four, and only lost the overall medal count by four. In reality, China lost the gold medal count by one and the overall medal count by 25. Should China be counting Taiwan and Hong Kong's medals in their total medal count? Swipe left or swipe right?
Hell no, they should not be counting it. Absolutely not. I mean, China's China. We're not counting Puerto Rico's medals. In fact, the female sprinter that won the gold medal was from Puerto Rico, the 100 meters. We're not counting that. They don't get to count Taiwan. I think this is China trying to dupe their own people into thinking they performed better than they were. And by the way, they did perform well. They had a good Olympics. They just weren't as good as us.
Do those countries compete under their own flag?
What's that?
Do those countries compete under their own flag at the Olympics?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
No, they can't.
It's literally like Mason said, it's like the same thing as, you know, like the Italian, the guy who was American, who ran for Italy and won the 100 meter dash.
The 100 meters, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they'd be like us counting it, saying, well, he really lives in America, so we're going to count that.
Yeah, I think this is Chinese propaganda. The Chinese are always up to stuff like this. They're sneaky. You got to watch China. I say, we won the medal count. We won the gold medal count. I don't care how they do their math or combine it. We are the winners and they are the losers.
Where did, dang. Play some patriotic music behind
Very
that.
Prideful in his country.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah. No, I make no apologies.
All right. Next one here. So Tim Tebow's first NFL game as a tight end.
Yo.
Did not get off to a great start. The former quarterback finished the game with zero catches on one target in Saturday's preseason game against the Browns, of all teams. In a video that has since gone viral on social, Tebow was also shown looking completely foolish when trying to throw blocks on a rushing play. In the most recent Jaguars depth chart, Tebow came in at number four at the tight end position and was actually listed in a three-way tie even for that spot. Do you guys think that Tim Tebow is making the Jaguars roster? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. There is no possible way he makes the roster. I mean, I watched, you showed me a couple of his blocks today on Twitter. I mean, he looks
hopeless.
If that's
what you want to call them, you know.
Yeah, if you want to call them blocks. Yeah, I mean, he looked hopeless out there, hopelessly overmatched. There is no possible way he makes the Jacksonville Jaguars, regardless of his relationship with Urban Meyer. What do you think, Momo?
Yeah, there's no way he makes it. I initially, when they signed him, I thought there was a chance because he, you know, he really is that close with Urban Meyer. Like, he's a big guy, really athletic. Maybe he can make that transition tight end. But those blocks, it was like a mace plant. That's what those blocks look like.
Oh, it might have been worse than that, actually.
I mean, the mace plant is an all-time.
No, the mace plant is pretty, pretty ridiculously awful.
But you're also not a professional. He is a professional football player, right?
I'm not trying to make an NFL team. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, he just kind of fell down into him.
he tripped over himself.
Yeah. He kind of got in his way. Like, he kind of, like, leaned and got in his way and slowed him down for half a second, but
didn't stand up to him. That's for sure. No. Yeah, he's
that one was bad. And then the second one, he looked like he was trying to like block with his eyes closed. Like, he wasn't anywhere near anybody. Pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, very embarrassing. Not going to make the team. I never thought he was going to make the team. By the way, I always thought it was kind of a publicity stunt.
Well, think of all those people that went out and spent money on Tim Tebow Jaguars jerseys.
Yeah, maybe a collector's item someday. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Last one here. Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian were seen heading together to a screening of Paw Patrol with their daughter, True. And it appears that their sighting together was more than just co-parenting. The on and off lovebirds are seemingly back on, according to In Touch Weekly. The news comes amid Tristan's Instagram note about working on his growth and change. The duo most recently split up back in June. When there were allegations, if you want to call them allegations, I don't know, that he cheated on her again. You know, that's a very common theme in their
relationship. Sure, sure.
So, would you get back together with somebody who cheated on you? Swipe left or swipe right?
Momo?
Well, you know, this seems like a difficult one because they have a kid together. So, I don't think we can judge it in a vacuum. I really think she's doing this for her daughter and trying to make that work and have a normal relationship, because I can't understand. Like, it's not like he just did it once. I mean, this is just a constant pattern.
Yeah, but I mean, in a hypothetical, let's just take it in a hypothetical sense.
Oh, a hypothetical?
Sense. Yeah,
I think I could. It depends on the circumstances.
If somebody cheats on you, can you forgive them?
Yeah, I think I could. It depends on the circumstance, though. Like, if it was a one-time stupid thing that they regret and feel terrible about, I could. But if it was like a passionate love affair, no.
Yeah, I've been on both sides of that,
mm-hmm.
And both times the relationships survived.
Ah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think forgiveness on either part is good. Now, granted, these were one-time incidents, and it was not what's going on with them. I just don't know. I mean, if Nevin cheated on you, what would happen?
We have a kid together. We have a life together. I would have to consider how that factors into my son's life.
But right. Tristan Thompson has been continuously embarrassing her in, like, the tabloids, and there's all kinds of gross stories coming out of all of this. Like, it's nothing that, you know, I would be so embarrassed, so ashamed. And not only that, like, forgiving someone and then getting back together with them are two completely different things, don't you think?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Two different things. Yeah, I don't quite understand it, but you know, it feels like definition of insanity, trying the same thing over again and getting the same result. I think that's the expression, isn't it, Momo?
Yeah.
Basically. It sounds like that's what's going on here, but they're, you know, relationships do survive cheating. Because sometimes, you know, the cheating is careless, it's reckless, people apologize for it, and relationships, they somehow work through it. I hope these guys are happy. I hope Tristan and Khloe are happy and that they, you know, rebuild their relationship and all that stuff. Boy, people are really worked. Thank you for that, Lindsay. Thank you for Radio Tinder there. So,
welcome.
ESPN Los Angeles just tweeted, "Where's the Mason and Ireland love? Shouldn't Venice Mason, L.A. Ireland be on the scoreboard at SoFi Stadium? Uh-oh, Venice Mace wasn't happy seeing Travis Rogers and Alan Sliwa." Now, let me just make this clear. I'm a huge fan of Travis Rogers and Alan Sliwa. By the way, when Travis filled in here, he was great, right? Right, Lynch?
Oh, yeah, he's excellent. He's a real pro.
He's excellent. He's a real pro. I think Sliwa has really grown into his role. I just think, and I listen every day from 8:55 until 11 a.m., I just think there should be Mason and Ireland love on the scoreboard at SoFi Stadium, especially since I'm sitting right there in front of the scoreboard. And I don't know who I talk to about this, but I don't want it to be a big slight on Travis and Sliwa, because you should watch their, you should listen to their show. You know, they do their show on Zoom.
Do they really?
Yeah, they're on Zoom while they're doing their show.
Yeah, I suggested that, and nobody wanted to do that.
I don't want
to
do that.
You don't want to do it? I could probably do it.
You know, it's just the setup. Like, I'm in my bedroom. I have one phone that I'm doing the
show
on.
Bed? Are you in
sometimes,
bed right
now? Sometimes, yeah. No, not right now. I'm in the studio today. But sometimes when I'm at home, I alternate between, I'm in my bedroom because that has the best, it's good to do your show from a room that has carpet, I've noticed.
Right.
If you do it with the hardwood floors, it echoes a little more. So I do it in that room because the office has hard floors. And I mean, you know, I got my seating options are a couch and the bed. So I kind of alternate. Sometimes I walk around, but if I walk around, then the signal drops. Like, just got to sit on the couch or the bed. And then how am I going to hold the Zoom?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's problematic. Ireland would never go for it. Ireland's just not that.
I don't want to get dressed to talk to you guys. Like, I just, you know.
Yeah,
I,
it's not necessary. I mean, I'm wearing sweats. I mean, for all intents and purposes, I'm just wearing sweats right now. Mm. All right. Coming up next for you. Momo, it is National, I want to make sure I get this right. It is National Tell a Joke Day.
Okay.
National Tell a Joke Day. Now, I think about now we could all use a good laugh.
Yeah.
And I think dad jokes are acceptable. The stupid ones, totally fine. So I'm going to open the phones, 877-710-ESPN. Make us laugh. Do you remember that old show,
yeah.
Make Me Laugh?
Yeah.
Make us laugh. What's the last joke you heard? Plus, we will get to the experience at SoFi Stadium Saturday night as the Rams and Chargers play the first football game with fans, preseason nonetheless, but play the first football game without fans at SoFi Stadium. Maybe you were there. Maybe you want to react. There was a big fight there. We'll get into all that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.